Let's give this a shot. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice.
Despite the temperatures yesterday, man, comfort quilters, you met. All right, 8 people, that's fantastic. Thank you for meeting. I was set to do a 45-mile bicycle ride yesterday. I'm thankful to the Redbud Classic people that they canceled it. Although, I was highly disappointed because it was something that I wanted to undertake, and I thought, I have to prove to myself I can do this. I did the 33-mile one, while Spencer and my son-in-law, Chris, did the 50-mile one, and I needed to know I could do it, so I don't know that yet. So I'm looking for my next event where I can prove that to myself. But the temperature's up and down. My Lord, I had a nice little coating of sleet all over my car yesterday morning. I went out and touched it just to make sure I couldn't ride my bicycle on the pavement and the bridges and overpasses of where it would go. But incredible temperatures, incredible precipitation. Today's supposed to be decent. I'm running a 10K today. That's on. Okay, so right after church, I'm gone. I'm not running out of here. I'm going to walk out of here, but I'm heading to a 10K for the Redbud Classic and going to see if I can do that. Then I hear later in the week it's supposed to be in the 80s. And it's like 40s, 60s, 50s, 80s, tapping near 90 and 100 in parts of the state. And I thought the temperatures are up and down in this state. And I thought, what a great way to lead into my message today about our temperatures, hot and cold. Today's message, we're following up and finishing up with our last several weeks of Jesus and who Jesus was to us and what he was and what he did and what he went through. And today I'm simply ending on Jesus, our revival. Amen? Jesus is our revival. I was talking about that this morning. I've been praying about that over the last several weeks. And I thought that revival lies within inside each and every one of us. And just like the temperatures here are up and down, the temperatures did the same things with the disciples and with his followers. Remember a couple weeks ago, Palm Sunday, the temperature was very hot. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Temperature's hot. Later that week, crucify him! Crucify him! Must have been some big wind coming in from Canada or something, pushing it down, because it was very cold then for him. Then the disciples, Judas, that dude was hot for him. He followed him until they offered him some money. And for 30 pieces of silver, he sold out Jesus. He became very cold as a follower of Jesus. Let's not forget Peter. Very hot for Jesus Christ. Very hot for him. Until Jesus said, you are going to deny me 3 times. And what did Peter respond? No, Jesus, not me. You're going to deny Jesus Christ 3 times. Not us teenagers. We've been to Falls Creek. Not us. The other teens in our school. But not us. You adults, you're going to deny him 3 times. No, not us. Maybe some people I work with, maybe some family members, but not us. Oh no, couldn't be. Did not I see you guys hanging out with Jesus? You carried a sign at school that says, I love Jesus, remember? I saw you. You're a friend of his. No, that wasn't me. There was a girl at school that looked like me. She also was in her softball uniform. She looked like me, had her hair pulled back. But it wasn't me. Jesus said, or Peter said, it can't be me, Jesus. It can't be me. The others, yes, but never me. And he said, yeah, you will. And as we know from the story, he turned very cold when they accused him of knowing and walking with Jesus. 1 John 9. You don't have to go there. We read this a couple weeks ago when the man brought his son. And Jesus said, "Do you believe?" And he says, "I believe." And in the same sentence, he said, "Help my unbelief." And I think that's that hot and cold that we live in. Man, Jesus, "I believe you can heal my son." But Jesus, would you please help my unbelief? The areas that I struggle in, Jesus, please. They were hot for Jesus until confronted with something. The temptation of money. The fear of being sought after by those that sought Jesus. And the same end coming. Well, today, we're going to look at what happens afterwards. And we know the end of John, it says, Jesus came back to his disciples. And he appeared to them. And Jesus went down. And he said, "Peter," these teens, "I know you denied me, but I restore you." And he asked them questions. And he said to the adults, "I know you denied me, but today I'm going to restore you. And I know you said it wasn't you with that sign, but I remember those eyes, and that was you carrying that sign at school. And I restore you." And Jesus restored Peter. Now some of the other fellows didn't really like that and ask, "What about this person and that person?" Jesus said, "You don't worry about them." He said, "You don't need to worry about them." So turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter, if you would, for today's message. And Jesus being our revival. And I don't want you to get caught up and say, "Well, the scripture didn't line up with revival or this or that." I want you to hear what Jesus is to us. An example that he gave us. And what he calls us to be. And what he calls us to do. And Jesus calls us to both of those. He calls us to be someone. But he also calls us to do certain things. 1 Peter, it's at the very end of the Bible almost. Almost at the very end before you get to Revelation. Flip back a few pages and you'll hit it. Now the question for you today is, are you hot or cold? That's easy, Adam. We're in church. We sang this great song. I love that chord progression that it does. And it just drives me every time. It's all I can do to play up there when we get to that part. Because I start trembling so much because of how powerful that is to me. It's easy. We're playing this passionate song about praising Jesus. Man, dry bones were singing out. Man, I'm hot today, Adam. It's 11:18, an hour from now. As you're heading to lunch, will you still be hot for him? 5 o'clock tonight, will you still be hot for him? After running a 10K, will I still be hot for him? Lord, why this race? Most of us go back to work tomorrow, those of us at work. 8 a.m., we may be hot for Jesus. What about 8:30? 10 o'clock? 5 o'clock, the end of our work day. Are we still hot for him then? And I really want to challenge you guys to start thinking in terms of that. How am I today for Jesus versus yesterday? How am I right now for Jesus compared to this morning when I woke up, I read the Bible, I may have had some prayer time? How long did that carry you in your day? You see, true growth happens when we slow down and ask ourselves those questions. And I heard something the other day. I've been talking about transformation. Jesus doesn't want us to be motivated, right? He wants us to be transformed and changed. And I heard something the other day. And it said, transformation cannot come, listen carefully, until submission happens. Until submission occurs, transformation cannot occur. Thank you, Adam. What a breakthrough. I figured out why I can't be transformed. Are you ready to submit? Well, no, but at least I know why now. What? It's a submission factor. It's not submitting to me. It's not submitting to Pastor Eric. This is about submission to God. And saying, God, I have given my life to you. When confrontation came, followers of Jesus went from hot to cold. Can you imagine Jesus Christ in 1 week? Celebrated, debated, and hated in 1 week. Hosanna, woo, crucify him. The religious people saying, how can we stop this guy that is teaching in our synagogues? Oh, he's teaching out of the same books we have, but he's claiming to be this guy we're waiting on. Yeah, we've seen and heard about the miracles, but when will the Messiah come? I want us to think about our confrontations throughout the week. Money problems. Lord, I don't have enough of it. Lord, I have too much of it and I just keep spending it and I can't save it. Lord, I got this spouse that you just don't understand. I'm speaking generally, not specifically, just to clarify. Lord, I've got these children. Lord, I've got these parents. Lord, I have this parent. I have this child. I've got these coworkers. I've got this boss. Lord, I just keep wanting stuff. Lord, I've got these desires. See, I don't like alcohol, but it helps numb me. So I drink to excess. Lord, I eat to excess. Lord, I use other drugs to numb me and to chill me out. It relaxes me. Lord, I go spend money thinking I'm going to make some money. But I just keep getting further into debt because those casinos keep taking my money. Jesus Christ was crucified, dead, and buried. He rose again on the third day. For those that grew up maybe in a denominational church, the Apostles' Creed talks all about that. I was going to read that today, but I opted not to. But it's the same thing. He was crucified, dead, and buried. He rose again on the third day. The Apostles' Creed goes on to say, he sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. He appeared to his disciples and then ascended into heaven. We've got an empty cross. They put him in a tomb. We've got an empty tomb. Now what? I guess we wait till Christmas, celebrate his birth again. We can get to Easter. We can do Palm Sunday again and we can celebrate those. I don't know. What do we do in the meantime, church? You remember in Acts what it said they did. They gathered together. Sat. And they waited. When do you think he's coming? Think it'll be another hour or two? The next day. Surely today he'll show up. do we do? I don't know, but I know he said to go here and wait for me. Wait, and I will send my helper. I think about obedience, and we'll look at that in just a minute here. I was talking with a guy at work about Moses. He went up on the mountain, and what happened? He was gone for a while. People down below said, guess he's not coming back. What do we do? Give us all your gold. Okay, we're going to make this calf. We're going to go back to doing the things we were doing. Because this Moses walked off, and I don't know where this God is, and I don't know where this Moses guy is. But surely he would have been back by now. And then Moses came down the Ten Commandments and saw what was going on. I don't want Jesus to show back up and have us doing what we used to do. See us being who we used to be. Because he says, I call you to a different place. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, at this point, he's back hot for Jesus. To the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. That's a mouthful right there. So he says, I'm coming here. I'm sending this. And he said, I want you guys to understand that there's sanctification. He said, in sanctification of the Spirit, you people have been set apart. When you accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in. He says, I'm here. And now you'll be set apart for service unto God. For obedience. I got to say, if we were waiting on Jesus or the Holy Spirit to show up, some of us would have got up out of that upper room and just headed out and said, I'm hungry. I'm going to get a sandwich. I may or may not be back, man. Better yet, when he comes, come and get me, and then I'll show up. And I think churches in America today, churches in the world, let's not just call it America, churches in the world have several empty chairs. These people saying, if he shows up, let me know. I'll be there next week. You may miss that boat. I'm just telling you. You may be one of those ones that said, Lord, Lord, did I not do this in your name? And he says, I don't know you. And I love that he ends that. It says, grace to you and peace be multiplied. But he starts out and saying to the pilgrims. Guys, we're pilgrims. This is not our home. This is where God has put us right now. It's where he's planted us. He says, where you are, I need you to grow. It's not your permanent home. By the way, tree, I'm going to plant you in this little pot, but you're going to somebody's home someday, and you're going to be this gigantic tree. Well, for us, he says, I'm going to plant you here, and you may be transplanted like a plant several times in different places. And each time you're in that place, you know what I want you to do? I want you to grow, and I want you to get stronger where you're planted. Because the next place you go, I need you for a bigger purpose. So you've got to be prepared. See, this is just our temporary home. But it's hard to look in the future. But when we know this and read this and understand this, he says, I've got a place for you. We read that. I go to prepare a place for you. And he says, I wouldn't have told you that if it wasn't true. He comes and said, I need your obedience in this.
And this sanctification, it calls for your obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to skip a few verses down to verse 6 of 1 Peter 1. And it says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of that the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into." And I thought today, wherever we are, in various trials, it tells them right here, by the way, guys, you've been grieved by various trials. But I love the phrase after that. And it talks about the genuineness of your faith. That's at hot or cold. Where's the genuineness of your faith? When you feel cold, do you still show up? When you feel cold, are you there for others? When you feel cold, do you still praise Him? Because again, that might not be for your benefit. And listen to this, speaking of that, it says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, they'll be tested by fire. Your faith is going to be tested. Will it be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ? And God says, even when you don't feel like it, man, I still want you to praise me and honor me. But I love verse 8 as well. I love all this actually. "Whom having not seen, you love." This is a faith that those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we can say, I haven't seen Him in the physical nature, in the physical sense. I haven't seen Him. But having not seen Him, I still believe in Him. And remember we read about the twin. As we read about Thomas, he said, "I won't believe you've seen him until I see the nail holes in his hands, the piercing in his side." And remember, Jesus walked up and said, "Go ahead, put your finger right there. See, that's great, Thomas." The others didn't have to see that, and they believed. You believe now that you've seen it, but they didn't see it, and they still believed. Man, that's great faith that they had. And then it also says, "Having not seen, you love him. Though now you do not see him, yet you believe him." So it goes further. It just says, you haven't seen him, but you love him. Very few as they're preaching now in this time frame have seen Jesus and spent time and said, you love him even though you haven't seen him. And then they go further saying, but you believe in him, even though you haven't seen him as well. You rejoice with joy inexpressible. Man, I've been talking about that the last few weeks. Man, invite people to church. Tell them, this is what's going on in my life. Jesus Christ is transforming me. No, he's not. Oh, did you forget to submit to him? Remember, transformation can't happen until submission happens. Happens. joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I love that. He goes on in verse 13. And it says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. You know, as we talked about, last week we talked about, for me, Easter's new beginnings and fresh starts. And this says, even though you're going through these things, here's the way I want you to act. And here's the way I want you to behave. You see, we've had Jesus Christ as our example. He says we're to be His ambassadors. We're to be Christ-like. We're to represent Him well. And we're to be good witnesses. I told a story long ago when we talked about witnessing when we were going through Acts and Romans in Wednesday night Bible study. I saw an accident occur right in front of me years ago. And the police talked to one guy or one lady and said, is this the way that, what happened? And she said, oh my gosh, this, and this. And he said, is that what you saw? I said, well, that was about the same, except none of that occurred. It just was in the opposite order. This guy ran the red light. He was driving into the sun, didn't see it. He wasn't wearing a seatbelt. How do I know? Because he flew halfway out the window as I saw him get hit. We have to be sure that we are giving a correct testimony and an accurate testimony about Jesus Christ, who He is, what He is. If we do that through our own actions, we don't have to sit down at the table and tell someone, let me tell you what Jesus Christ is doing in my life. But the things we do all around those people or that person, the way we act, the way we talk, that's our testimony. It's live. It's Facebook Live. They're watching us day in and day out. It doesn't do any good to say, want to come to my church? We get away with anything we want to. I do this, but they still accept me. Do they know about that? Well, no. It's a secret that Jesus and I have, and we keep it here. That's no good testimony to tell people that. The testimony would be, I used to do this. Jesus Christ changed me from that. He took away those cravings and desires that I had. And He removed those from me. When it talks about gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It says, don't let your mind get caught up. They used to have long robes and they'd have to pull those things up and hike them up and tie them around their waist and do whatever so they weren't running through the square or whatever, tripping on those things. And it's the same thing here. It says, don't let your mind get caught up in these things. You can be easily entangled into things that you have no business getting tangled up in. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust. But listen to this. Your former lust as in your ignorance, before you knew better. It says, now that you know better, man, you need to act this way. As obedient children, act as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Not the conduct around the work group. Not the conduct around the family. Not the conduct around your church. Not the conduct around a group of people. That same conduct you have when you're by yourself. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Jesus Christ alone is our revival. He's given us the example here. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. It's a whole new calling. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory. Why? So that your faith and hope are in God. Your faith and hope doesn't have to be in any man. The man was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God in the flesh. And 1 Peter goes on and says, since you have purified your souls in verse 22 in obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. When we do things with a pure heart, we don't have to worry about covering up, backtracking. What was the story I told here? The story I told was, I love you. Do these things with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Why? Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flowers fall away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. And we're going to get into just the first part of 1 Peter 2. And it says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desires the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If you have tasted His grace at all, it says, man, you've got to put this stuff aside. If you heard it, if you've seen it, if you've experienced it, witnessed it even, that's the power that can transform you. The second part of verse 8 in chapter 2 says, they stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Verse 7, I'm going back and forth a little bit, but it says, therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to the others. You see, when we're disobedient, we worry about tripping and stumbling and not being able to see a clear path. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have a path that has various things in the way, obstacles. But the path is clear. There's an obstacle. I don't need to trip over it. I need to go around it or go over it or go through it. Now, think carefully as we look at those obstacles in the way. I can choose to go around it. I'm going to avoid this. I can go over it. I'm going to avoid this by going over it, around it, whatever, under it sometimes. But there's times that obstacle is there and you just got to remove it by going through it. I'm going through this thing and I've got to go through and endure while I'm going through it. The challenge for us is, do we believe? Yes. Oh, by the way, would you continue to help my unbelief? Are we hot for Jesus? Yes. in that situation, I was cold. Jesus, could you warm me up a little bit? But did we slow down to look into the situation to say, did I do everything I could have, should have? Did that action honor God? I mean, it becomes that simple. Did what I do, did what I just do or say, did that honor God? I'm not talking about did it make that person happy. Sometimes saying no doesn't make that person happy, but God says you need to tell them no. So I'm talking about did our decision, did our action, did our words honor God? Well, God told me to tell them this. Did you do it in a spirit of love and gentleness? Or did you just slap them across the face with your comments and say, well, it's the truth shall set you free. We've talked about that before. The Bible doesn't say just lay things out there that are true. That's not the truth shall set you free he's talking about. He also says if you've got to correct someone, do it with some love in your heart and on your voice. Do it with some gentleness and some care and concern. I think our revival is within our own self. Jesus, I was waiting for a revival to break out. The church didn't put out a tent. They didn't hold meetings or anything. I guess I can't have a revival. Jesus said, you absolutely can. Have it amongst yourself. And when you have it, by the way, invite a couple friends to come join that revival. Say, hey, you got to look what Jesus is doing. You see, I'm really excited about this. Man, do you want to come talk about this? Do you want to hear about this? There may just be 4 or 5 of us. There may just be 10 or 15 of us. There may just be us 12 disciples. But we'll follow you, Jesus. Jesus is our revival. Remember in 1 Peter 1, verse 15, he said, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Church, let's be imitators of Christ Jesus. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Spirit here today. Lord, we thank you for the journey you took to the cross and beyond. Lord, we know that you didn't want to go there, but you had to go there to fulfill the Scriptures. Lord, what a week that was for you to be celebrated, debated, and hated all in the same week. God, I ask today that you move in this church body, that you move in those listening today to your word, not to my words, but to your word. Lord, that they find revival within themselves, that they reignite that flame inside of them, that they rediscover the passion they had when they first discovered you and turned their lives over to you. Lord, for those that are struggling with transformation, that they truly look and say, it's because I have failed to submit to you, God, because I still want to control my life. Lord, we know that transformation cannot happen from that position of pride. Lord, I ask that you warm the hearts of those that feel that way. Lord, that you soften the hearts of those that may question you. Those that still have unbelief, Lord, that you would warm their hearts to believe in you fully. Lord, to those who struggle with their faithfulness when they're cold, that you would warm them up to you and help them to see that it's bigger than them It's not always about them, but sometimes their presence is for the benefit of somebody else. And sometimes that's you, Lord. That you see them pushing through the obstacles they face to be here in your presence. Lord, as we go out this week, help us just to look at ourselves and examine ourselves. You have given us a book of examples to follow. Lord, that the actions we take towards one another glorify you and honor you. That the words we speak to one another do the same, Lord. When correction is necessary, that we use a spirit of love and gentleness. That people can smell the aroma of Christ around us. And that we can be a light and beacon for those that we face. That we can be light and salt to those we come in contact with. And witness through our actions and our words, even at a distance. Lord, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Mr. Adam was talking about testimony and revival. And I never shared this with you guys, but I wanted to share it with you right now because I feel like maybe somebody needs to hear it. Jennifer and I went to a women's conference last year, I believe. And I'll try to make this quick. In the past, I used to tell Jennifer, I said, I got a coffee date with Jesus. When I go, I have a coffee date with Jesus. It's okay that I share this. She was picking on me, giving me a hard time. She said, coffee isn't in heaven. And I said, yes, coffee is in heaven. God made the desires of our heart. And I love coffee. So coffee is in heaven. And I didn't tell her this, but that actually kind of hurt me a little inside. I mean, I've told her since. But we go to this women's conference like a year or so later. And hadn't been talking about it or anything like that. And we go up for prayer, and this woman prays over me, and I don't know her. I've never met her before in my life. And she puts her hands on me, and she prays over me. And some people are falling out in the Holy Spirit, and I'm not, but she's expecting it. And I told her, I said, I receive it. I'm not going to fall, but I receive it. And I was just determined to receive whatever God had for me without judgment and without predisposition or whatever. I was just gonna, however it was. So she says, okay, let me talk. And she tells me God is going to present himself to me in new ways and in new manifestations. And that sounded kind of generic to me. But then she says, I see you sitting in a coffee shop. And Jesus walks in and points at you and says, I have a coffee date with you. I started shouting and screaming and speaking in tongues and this, that, and I just couldn't. I didn't care who was around me anymore because God just spoke to me through this stranger who does not know me. And I tell you this because a revival happened to me and within me at that moment that God showed me that he is listening. And I want you to know, whoever and wherever you are, if you doubt that God hears you, he is listening.